Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. First up today, Aaron in Kirksville, Missouri. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Hank. How are you today?
I'm good. Nice talking to you.
I was calling because my brother has a good friend of his that claims to be a non-practicing homosexual. Basically says that he has the tendencies, he even has the mindsets, and even, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he has the behaviors of what would stereotypically be a homosexual man. But he says that as long as I don't actually have sex with another man, I'm not doing anything wrong. And he says that he's going to live a life of celibacy and kind of just is his way of avoiding any kind of, I don't know, it just sounded really legalistic to me and really kind of like the letter rather than the spirit. So I was just wondering what you're
Well, I think it's commendable in a lot of ways, and I think he should be applauded for feeling as though he has these proclivities and yet refraining from engaging in those proclivities. Because remember, homosexuality is a behavior. It's not an identity. And I think that's oftentimes confused in our culture. We think it's an identity when in fact it is not. It's a behavior. And I think it's commendable that he's not carrying out that behavior which ultimately is detrimental to him and to others with whom he would come into contact with. And we all have struggles against sinful proclivities. I mean, that's the human condition. That's why the Christian church is a hospital for sick people. I mean, the entrance requirements of the kingdom is saying, I'm a sinner. I've got all these sinful proclivities. And God, please help me because I want to do it your way rather than my own way. So there.
Yeah. I guess my issue is not with him saying I have these tendencies, just like I have a tendency maybe towards pornography or whatever. It's the, I will behave in this manner as much as I want, as long as I do not do this one thing. You know, even to the point of commenting on the attractiveness of other men and, you know, and with things which to me seem to even suggest a thought life that leans towards it.
Right, but here's the issue. I mean, I think the real issue here is to take the good here and try to capitalize on it from a Christian perspective. I think what's important is always a change of heart and growth as a Christian. If you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and everything starts to change in your life. Your habits start to change over time. I mean, some habits are very hard to break and may not even be broken in this lifetime. But the point is, the heart is the seat of all of this, and if the heart changes, then behavior can change. So again, I would be a whole lot more concerned with communicating not only the Christian gospel, but the Christian disciplines, because through them, a person is changed. And as a person is changed, they change their sphere of influence, and ultimately the culture can be changed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time and giving me something to think on.
Aaron, thank you so much for your call. I want to go next to Van, listening in North Carolina. Hi, Van.
Yes, good evening, Hank.
Good evening.
Ran into somebody and in the discussion, you know, brought up the Lord and started talking about loving Jesus and different things. And the person began to explain to me this theology, and I had never heard anything like this. So maybe you can enlighten me or maybe give me some idea where I can go and maybe figure out what this is, or you might know right off the bat. Bottom line is, what she told me was that she believed that when she accepted Christ as her Savior and he came to live in her heart, that that was the second coming of Christ. That he has now fulfilled a prophecy in the Bible about coming again, and his coming again was because he has came and lived in her heart. and that we were actually living, we were in heaven now, but it was not a fulfilled heaven. That's what she called it, I think, a fulfilled heaven. That when he, what is it, talks in the Bible about brings heaven to earth, then this will be a fulfilled heaven and it will be a perfect place, but it's not now because that's not happened.
Yeah, I mean, it almost sounds like a permutation of the false heretical notion of full preterism, but it has some differences as well as you're explaining it. But the point here that should be underscored is that Christ comes to us, we are spiritually regenerated, and when we are spiritually regenerated, we experience, as it were, a first resurrection, a resurrection, as it were, from deadness in sin and depravity. But Jesus Christ is going to come a second time, and when he does, he'll put all things to right. In the meantime, we're going to struggle with sin natures. We're going to struggle with a world that now groans in travail and is looking for its liberation and bondage from decay. So again, what we're looking forward to is a second coming of Jesus Christ. Then our bodies will be resurrected physically. The universe will be physically restored to what it was before sin and destruction and disease and decay entered this world. Paradise lost will become paradise restored. So that's what we yearn for earnestly and yet do not have. It's not within our grasp, but it is within our hope. We can look forward to it with eager anticipation because it is a promised reality yet future.
Right, absolutely. Well, absolutely. You're, that old saying, you're preaching to the choir. I'm right with you. I just never heard anything of this sort. And it really kind of threw me a tremendous curveball when I was, I mean, don't get me wrong, I espoused to her what my beliefs were, and it was a great conversation, but I was just really, had never heard anything like this, and I was just kind of curious if there, what did you say that was called?
Full preterism, but again, a full preterist would not describe themselves exactly as you did in the prologue to your question, so I wouldn't want to saddle even full preterism with some of that baggage, but full preterism is the idea that the second coming has already come. It's already happened. And as a result of that, we're now experiencing resurrection. In a Christian viewpoint, however, that is not true. Jesus Christ is coming again, and that is yet future. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Cameron in Troy, Alabama. Hi, Cameron.
Hello, good evening. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I am well. At what point am I held liable before God? Responsibility of ensuring that my family attends a local church. I recently switched churches for spiritual reasons. The church we were at prior to the one we've moved to, we attended, and more we were there, the more and more I realized that it was great teaching, but the teaching mostly surrounded prosperity teaching. So my question is, to what point am I held liable? Because right now we're kind of in limbo. We've moved from one church, and we currently attend another one off and on, but we've yet to be consistent. Me and my wife, we kind of conflict on where to attend. I want to attend locally because, you know, we'll definitely get a regular session out of it. But she feels that if, you know, the word is not as strong and she doesn't get much out of it.
First of all, I commend you. I mean, you want to use discernment so that you are growing your family in a healthy, well-balanced church. And I think to that end, it is good that you're looking for a body of believers in which you can worship God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word, experience oneness with other believers, and then be equipped to go out and impact the world. So good for you. I'm glad you're using your discernment skills. Secondly, let me say this, that it's important that you do not neglect the gathering of yourselves together, as is the custom of some, that you do identify with a body of believers because the body needs you and you need the body. Paul makes that very clear in Romans chapter 12. And you are the head of the house. You are held responsible for training up your children. And that's a daunting thought. And you need to let them know that they weren't born again in isolation. They were born into a community of faith, which is expressed through communion and expressed through baptism. So I think it's important that you are using discernment, but it's also important that you land in a church. You're not going to find a perfect church, but at least one that adheres to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, and one in which you can find your place as a very important, poignant member of the Fellowship of Believers.
Yes, sir. And my biggest conflict is the fact that one of them is more or less a prosperity teaching.
Yeah, and the prosperity message is not a biblical message at all. And therefore, you don't want to raise up your family in that kind of a church. So you're good not to be part of that fellowship. You want a healthy, well-balanced church.
Yes, sir. Well, I tell you what, I thank you for your time, and I think you do a very good job explaining. I tell you, God has really given you a gift because, I mean, as I listen to your answers, a lot of them are just very well explained. And so I appreciate the one, the opportunity to call in, and the two, I thank God that you're on air doing what you're doing.
Bless you. Thank you so much for your encouragement. It means the world to me. Be right back.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Stephen, listening in Noble, Oklahoma. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Hank. I have a question that's been giving me trouble for a while now. When the Lord comes back, he will create a new heavens and new earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
There will be no sin, death, or sickness.
Mm-hmm.
In the Old Testament, the prophecy of this, in Isaiah 65, he mentions that the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, it says that he who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth, and he who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. And what this is figurative language to let his hearers, the hearers of Isaiah, relate to what it will be like when God puts all things to right. The inhabitants of the new heaven and new earth will live lives of inexpressible longevity, and there'll be no more infant mortality, and people will not die prematurely as they do now. If you look at verse 18, you have the word forever. You'll be rejoicing and serving the Lord forever. The forever word should be a clue that this is, again, figurative language pointing out a spiritual reality, which is ultimately seen with blazing clarity in Revelation chapter 21, where you see a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and first earth passed away. There's no longer any sea. And by the way, even that's figurative language. The sea was thought as a place in which death and turmoil and the coiling serpent resided. All of that will be gone because there'll be no more sin. And God himself will live with us, and he will wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things will be made new. So the Bible uses figurative language. It uses heavenly condescensions so that we can understand what God has prepared for those who love him.
Okay, so there really won't be any death at all?
Absolutely no death, no. Nothing impure will enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. We were created for eternity. Death came as a result of sin, but life comes as a result of receiving Jesus Christ. We receive spiritual life now, and we will also receive eternal life physically in the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwells righteousness.
Okay, so the prophecy there in Isaiah 65 where he mentions the death and the sinner, that's just kind of a figurative...
It's figurative language.
Literally, there's not going to be a literal sinner there.
No, there's not going to be any sinners. There'll be no sin in the new heavens and the new earth. And again, we will rejoice there with God forever as we see in verse 18.
I can't wait. Thank
Amen.
You very much.
Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. Staten, listening in Overland Park, Kansas. Hi.
Hey, I'm always under the impression that it's good practice to read things in context. And I was looking here in Matthew 2, verse 15. I know there's more examples, but this is just one. The part where it says, "This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken in the prophet... through the prophet," and he says, "I called my son out of Egypt." And then in my little footnotes, it says this comes from the prophet that said this comes from Hosea 11:1.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I read Hosea 11:1, it doesn't sound like something. It sounds like they're just taking something out of context. And then, you know, so I'm just confused. Why did they decide to use it that way if it doesn't seem to be in context? I don't.
Well, this is a classic example of how important it is to understand the difference between predictive prophecy and typological prophecy. You're absolutely right. Hosea 11:1, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son," has first and foremost to do with Israel. But there's historical correspondence between Israel's sojourn in Egypt and the sojourn of Emmanuel in Egypt. That's not random, but it's a divinely intended pattern of events that is intensified in Jesus Christ. So we should note the reason for exile in Egypt, the extraordinary evil of Jacob's sons exiled Joseph in Egypt. just as the extravagant evil of Herod exiled Jesus in Egypt. Furthermore, we should note God's providential care for the royal seed of Abraham, whereby Emmanuel, like Israel, is preserved in the midst of sojourn in Egypt. And then there's another point. Beyond historical correspondences, there's a corresponding escalation of type in antitype. In other words, Emmanuel did what Israel could not do. Israel succumbed to the wiles of the world, the flesh, the devil, during her desert sojourn, whereas Emmanuel, true Israel, triumphed over every trial and temptation. And even that, by the way, is but grasping a thread on the underside of the tapestry of typology, because Jacob and his sons were designated sons of God by adoption. Jesus is designated the Son of God in unique and absolute fashion. So again, this is where we have to be careful to make distinctions between predictive prophecies like Micah 5:2, which finds fulfillment in Christ's birthplace in Bethlehem in Matthew 2:5, and typological prophecies like Hosea 11:1, which are typologically fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And failure to recognize the difference has led to much disbelief and outright denial of the fact that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation.
Okay, where would you say to go would be a good place to learn to discern this, or is it just one of those things you just keep reading, or is it, or to go to the Greek, or
no, what? No. Here's what would be really helpful. I wrote a book on this. I actually wrote a book demonstrating the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, called Has God Spoken? In that book, I have a section on prophecy, and I make the distinction between predictive prophecy and typological prophecy, and explain how typology works. It's a really important section, and I actually set it up in such a way as having a Christian who is using these kinds of prophecies to try to reach a Jewish coworker. Well, the Jewish coworker knows that this is fulfilled in Israel, and therefore is saying, wow, you're really taking something out of context. And then I work through the whole thing, so in kind of a case study. If you understand typology, how you can be an effective witness. If you don't, how this can be a barrier to the gospel. So it's laid out, and it's an engaging fashion in the process. You understand how typology works.
All right. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Again, I wrote that book for a reason. The reason is that we have to be so familiar with the truth. How are you familiar with the truth? Well, you got to have some kind of North Star. That North Star is the Word of God. We test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. But the Bible is under attack today. So many people say that the Bible is full of indiscriminate massacre, bride price. It is replete with all kinds of contradictions. There are more mistakes in the biblical manuscripts we have today than there are words in the New Testament, that the Bible was forged. And in this milieu, I'm demonstrating, no, the Bible demonstrates itself to be true through the manuscript evidence, through archaeological evidence, through prophecy, which demonstrates that the Bible could never be pawned off to good guessing, luck, or common sense. And then the last section of the book, I teach you how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And that entails even understanding typology. Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration is available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And I make a very strong point at the end of this book, in the conclusion, which is worth the price of the book itself, that if we do not go back to the pages of the Bible on which Western civilization was built, if we continue in the shadow of the Bible, we may as yet lose the greatest civilization in the history of humanity. So ultimately, it's up to you. Are you going to be a change agent or a microcosm of the culture? We stand today in the shadow of the Bible, as I said, a day in which we yet benefit from its blessings, but we're blithely unaware of its source. A day in which we have more Bibles than at any other time in human history. A day in which you can go to church color-coordinated with your Bible and yet remain strangely unaware of what is divinely etched in its pages. It leaves us on the cusp of a civilization that, like the Roman Empire, is either poised for ruin or ready for revival. And you, not pagans, are the deciding factor. Pagans exercise their job description. The question is, are you exercising your job description? God is making his appeal through us. And therefore, my challenge to you is get into the Word, get the Word into you, memorize, meditate, and mine the Bible for all its wealth. Stem the tide of darkness by ever being ready to provide proof of the Bible's divine inspiration. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kevin in Manning, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Oh, not so bad. I got a question about, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Sid Roth.
Yeah, just a terrible television show as well as radio show. No discernment, promotes just about anyone on his television show or his website. He is a guy that is constantly using sensationalism and sophistry and sloppy journalism and even script torture to delude his followers, so not something that I would recommend at all.
Okay. Well, thanks for your opinion. I don't know what else to say, but I just need your opinion on that one.
Well, you got it. I've watched it a number of times and just been aghast in his sensationalism, his selling, his script torture. I mean, it's just horrible, and I'm glad that people exercise discernment or learn discernment skills, because if it were not for that, they would fall for all kinds of these sophists today who are masquerading as Christian teachers. Thanks for tuning in today. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.